The following is an unrehearsed taped interview with Willie Ryan, farmer in Clinton County, Kentucky. The interview was conducted by Jenny Scott for the Family Farm Project for the Kentucky Oral History Commission. The interview was conducted at Mr. Ryan's farm on July 3rd, 1983 at 1 o'clock p.m. Okay, first, Mr. Ryan, I'd like to thank you for letting me come and talk with you today, especially on a holiday. But it's a good time. At least it's raining. The rest of the farmers I've found, it's been dry and I'm having trouble. I'd like to start off, you tell me your name, when you were born, parents' name, this sort of thing. Anything you think of in your childhood?
Well, my name is Willis Morris Ryan. I was born July 15, 1915. And my mother's name was Nettie Morris. My father's Ryan, and my father's name was William Ryan.
Are you Junior?
No. He was William, and I'm
Willie.
That's right. Difference. But I could still sign my name, get M's like he did. But he put a mark under the M. Mm-hmm.
Where'd your parents come from? Were they from here? Or?
My dad was raised right here on this place. Hmm. He left here when he was about 16 years old. And he went to Indiana, worked a while, slipped off from home, and went up there. And he got sick up there, had typhoid fever, and he came back here and stayed a while. And then he got a chance to go to Texas. And he went to Texas. He didn't like Texas. And he seen in a railroad station where they said, "Go west, young man." So he went to Oregon and worked in a logging camp there. Later on went up into Washington State, and there he met my mother. He worked up there, took up claims up there back in the mountains in Washington State.
And brought her back here then?
Brought her back here. He was 20 years older than she was.
20 years older?
Yeah, I've got the first letter that she wrote him.
Huh. And they came back here on the farm?
They came back here on, where the reservoir of Wolf Creek Dam is now, down what we call West Fork of Indian Creek. It's all covered up with water now. And he bought this place where I lived. After his mother died, he bought this place. About 260 acres, and he bought it for $350 in 1900.
For $350?
In 1900.
Oh my goodness. Seems impossible.
Sure does.
And what part of the county is this in? What part of Clinton County is it in?
Well, we're in the northern section. Well, really not completely on the northern part. I guess you'd call it the northern section of the county.
Of the county. Now, you grew up here on the farm then?
I grew up down in Indian Creek. So Wolf Creek Dam was built and the water ran the south, then I moved out here. And my dad died whenever I was about 9 years old. My mother married again, and then he died whenever I was 20 or 21 years old, and I had to run this farm and the one down there on the creek.
But you lived on the creek?
Lived on the creek, down below.
When did that fill up?
Well, about 48 or 9, somewhere along there, I think.
Yeah, I think I remember Dad working on the dam.
Yeah.
Down there. I was just small. Well, how big was the farm down there?
It was 450 acres. Now, there's a lot of woodland to it, but there's a lot of bottom land there, too.
And the government bought it?
Government bought it, yeah.
Do you remember for how much?
$22,550.
They took it.
Well, 25, 30 years ago, that was a pretty fair price.
Oh, was it?
Nobody wanted land in the place that was in at that time. No roads in there, and no good roads in there.
And a lot of timber.
Yeah.
Well, they cut the timber off?
No.
Before it filled up, or did
no, they took every bit of it. Of course, they cut the where the water line, where the water went, it was all cut off. But the hill land is still there, and timber's still on it.
Long timber
took it all.
Huh.
We're glad they didn't take it all. We hate to have just a little left back down there. But they did some of the land farms. They didn't take all of it. Left them some hill land.
Just that part of it. No, they still own that property.
Yeah.
So you moved up here in what?
I believe 46.
46.
I moved a couple of years before the dam. My mother wanted to move out here, and she was getting old, and she wanted to live out here, and she had to go to the doctor a lot, and it's easier to get to the doctor from here and down there.
Well, how far are you from Albany here?
6 miles.
Just 6 miles. Okay, so you moved here in 46. When did you marry?
I married in 42, January 30th, 1942.
So you and your wife, and what's her name?
Ella. Ella Thomas. She was Thomas.
Is she from here?
Yeah, she's here.
Mm-hmm. And how big was this farm when you moved on?
Supposed to be 260 acres, but there's only about 70 acres of the rest of it's woodland, 7 acres of cropland.
Do you have any big timber?
Well, there's some timber on it. It's not real big. No, it's got quite a bit of timber on it.
Have you sold any off? Or do you
sold some about 32 or 33 years ago. I sold some.
What kind was it?
Oak.
Okay.
It's grown back now as big as it was whenever I sold it.
So you've got good money still staying in that timber.
Yeah.
We'll have.
Yeah.
Well, 20 years ago, when you moved here in 46, how many acres did you tend? How many did you cultivate?
Well, I have cleared so much since that time. I cleared about an acre a year for about 5 or 6 years. Land that had been grown up. This farm had been rented, and people let it grow up, and I've cleared, I guess, 10 or 12 acres since I've lived here. Well, I tended to, of course, the tobacco crop, about an acre of tobacco, and 5 or 6 acres of corn, and the rest of it is hay and pasture.
And that was in 46?
Yeah.
How much do you have now? How much do you tend now?
Well, I only tend about 6 acres of corn, and I have about an acre of tobacco, and the rest of it's in hay and pasture.
Well, growing, how'd you raise the crops in 46? Just tell me about that.
Well, I done it with a team. I turned the ground and worked it down with the team and planted it with the team and cultivated it with the team. Didn't have no tractor until about 48.
Did you raise the crops to sell or did you?
No, I just fed most of them.
What'd you raise, dairy cattle then?
No, I had, well, I first started out with a few dairy cows and we milked and skim milk and sold the cream for about a number of years.
Was there a there was a market here for the cream?
Market for the cream here at that time. Then we went from that into the dairy cattle. We had Holsteins. We kept them for until about 8 years ago. We milked and sold milk 10 years ago.
How many did you have? How many cows did you have?
Now.
Then.
I milked about 18.
That's a lot of dairy cattle.
Well, quite a few. We milked a number of years by hand, and then we got a milker, of course, and we quit the hand milking. I couldn't milk them now by hand that way.
Who could?
Nobody, I don't guess.
Well, it was mechanization, the electricity, mechanization, farm machinery and everything. It's really made a difference in farming.
Oh, it's just altogether different. Took the hard work out of it.
Well, how much more can you raise now? How much more land can you tend now than you could say?
Well, I could tend 4 or 5 times as much. Seem like though that you don't have as much time to prepare land as we used to have, because seem me like we get in all right without the tractors, but it sure is a lot faster.
What about expense wise?
Well, of course, this is a lot more expensive. Tractors and equipment is more expensive than farming with a team. Of course, you had your team to feed, and a lot of times you'd feed half your crop out you made that time to your team.
Well, what about has the sale of your stuff, the sale of your cattle and tobacco and everything, that more than covers the rise in cost?
Yeah, that's right.
How much did you get for your tobacco in say, 46? How much per pound?
About 35, 40 cents a pound.
And that was all hand work, wasn't it?
It's all hand work, that's right.
You set it out, pegged it?
Yeah, pegged it out. They wasn't no such thing as tobacco setters, and we'd have to find a season and prepare ground and then wait for a rain. And a lot of times there'd be grass growing when you set the tobacco out. You had a lot of hoe work to do in there.
And now?
Now you pick the ground in the morning and set your tobacco that afternoon.
And it has to be dry? It
has to be dry.
Okay. How do you prepare your beds? How did you prepare your beds, and how do you prepare them now?
At that time, of course, we burnt beds. We sterilized by burning. Now, of course, right now, why they gas. It's methyl bromide gas. And kills all the insects and diseases and all germination, all seed.
And then sold.
Yeah,
how much does it cost to prepare a bed to get it
ready? I guess. I really don't know what to. Plastic, you have to use plastic on it, and the can, I guess it cost you $50 to get the gas and the canvas, I mean the plastic to go over the bed right now, and that don't include your seed and your covering, which is canvas for, and fertilizer, so.
Well, you got 35 cents in 1946, what did you get last year per pound?
I believe we got $1.80-something, 82, I think.
That's quite a rise, then.
Sure is.
But you also have your fuel.
Oh, yeah. Everything's a lot higher. Of course, we have electric bills to pay now, and taxes are higher, and fertilizer bills are higher, and labor, if you hire any, it's always tripled, I guess.
Do you have to hire labor?
Yeah. When I have to hire labor if I get my hay in. I rent my tobacco out now. Rent to a fellow, and he helped me in my hay too, and I hire him and some more help too to get my hay out.
How much do they charge you a day?
Well, we hire them by the hour. All I have given this year has been $2.50 an hour.
It's well worth that too.
It's worth it, yeah. And you can't afford to ask people to work for less than that.
Well, it's also easier to get people, I guess, this year, isn't it?
It's a little easier than it has been. I've seen the time you couldn't find nobody.
But now people are more or less looking for jobs.
That's right.
How long does it take you to get that tobacco in, Mr. Ryan?
Well, it'd take about a little over a day to cut it, and a day or a day and a half to get it in.
How many pounds do you have?
I have 1,478 pounds.
Well, that's a pretty good cash crop.
Yeah, it's a pretty good cash crop, but I've not got a big base like some of them has.
Well, how do you get the base?
Well, they would depend on what you had grown in the past. And we own a poundage, but I hadn't made the pounds on acreage that some people have made. And that way I didn't get as much poundage.
So that's how they decide who
that's
gets
how they decide.
Mm-hmm. You don't have dairy cattle anymore, then?
No, I've got beef cattle.
How many head of beef cattle do you run?
Well, right now I've got 23 cows and a bull, and then I've got, I think, about 18 or 20 calves with them.
How long does it take to, do you top those calves out, or?
No, I sell them at a feeder calf sale, and we're 600 to 800 pound.
And how long is that? How old are they?
Well, I try to get them about eight months old, yes.
Do you make a good profit?
Yeah, I've made really I've made more money, clear money off of beef cattle than I did off of dairy.
So you don't sell hay or corn anymore?
Well, sometimes I have too much. I don't sell very much. Sometimes I have too much, I'll sell more than I can use.
Well, do you bale your hay?
Yeah.
Or roll it?
Bale it, square bale.
What do you think about the rolls?
I don't know. It's, of course, they're a labor-saving thing. And they're a little more trouble to feed. They're a little more trouble to feed because you have to haul the rolls out to cattle in the wintertime and cold. A lot of times these old tractors won't start in cold weather. You can't can get your hay hauled out in the field. They feed out in the field altogether, the thing. Mm-hmm. Wastes a lot, too, and besides, there's a lot of it rots on them roads.
Well, I guess a lady told me last week about a conditioner that you buy.
Yeah. That
has that helped any, or do you know anything about
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it... It mashes, it's just kind of like a roller on a washing machine. It mashes the stems and the juice runs out. It dries a lot quicker.
Oh, so they dry, and then they're not so apt to rot in there.
No, and then you can bale it so much quicker, you see. A day quicker. So it means a whole lot sometimes, a whole field of hay, if you can get it baled a day sooner.
Well, in 46, when you started farming here, how'd you take care of your hay then?
Well, I held it in loose, stacked it, and put all you could in the barn and didn't have enough barn room. You had to have your tobacco barn for your tobacco. And we'd stack it and then haul in a stack whenever we needed it at the barn.
And just stack it up on a pole in the
That's right. Just stack it out where the cattle couldn't get to it.
Yeah. What about the corn? Did you cut corn for the cattle?
I have cut a little corn since I've been here. I cut 2 years, I guess. And that's a lot of work, corn cutting.
How'd you handle that? How?
Well, we pulled it off after getting the shock and then tied the fodder up in bundles and hauled it out to the cattle. The bundles, tied up in bundles where you could handle it.
So they'd eat that for feed. And now you have it, I guess you have it picked now?
Yeah, I have it picked.
And just leave the stalks in the field?
Yeah, I turn the cows in after I get picked, let them pick up what loose corn might be left in the field and they eat the stalks some of them. You know.
Then you just turn the stalks back under and then...
Yeah, turn it back under, yeah, that's it. Organic.
Good for the
land, yeah. Mm-hmm. I've got the same field in I've had in this 25 years. Mm-hmm. No, 24 years.
Same field and corn.
Yeah.
Hmm. So you must be doing something right on your field.
Well, if you can grow quite a bit of corn today because you've got a lot of stalks to go back on it. And keep the structure of your soil built up. Mm-hmm. Keeps from getting hard.
What else do you put on that field? Fertilizer?
Yeah, I put fertilizer mostly according to soil tests.
Who tests the soil?
Well, I get the samples and take them to county agent. He sends the experiments to you and get them tested.
Is the county agent a big help to the farmers?
Yeah, he is. He's a lot of help to the farmers. A lot of people won't ask him about things, but... He can really help you a lot about things.
And they're willing to,
he's willing to help you. You might have something wrong with the crop and call him, he'll come and look at it. And if you don't know, he'll get somebody that does know.
So that's a big help.
That's right.
Well, how much machinery do you own?
Well, I got a couple of tractors and small tractors. And I've got several pieces of machinery for them. Like a baler and rake and mowing machines and plows and stuff like that.
A few $1,000 then.
Yes, and maybe more.
Well, farms changed a lot.
Oh, yeah, it's altogether different.
In 30 years. I suppose you grew your own food then.
Yeah, we have our own beef and our own pork. We never buy beef. I don't guess we've bought any beef and 8 or 10 years. And occasionally we'll buy a little sausage or bacon or something like that in the way of pork, but most of the time we have our own.
Never have to buy country hams.
No, we never have.
And gardens you raise?
Yeah, we have all kinds of garden stuff, more than we can use.
You can it?
Yeah, freeze it.
So you save a lot on your food bill.
Yeah, sure do.
Well, the
biggest thing we buy is milk.
Oh, you buy your milk?
Our milk. That's the biggest
thing. You don't
thing
have any
No, I don't milk cows anymore. I just whenever I quit, I quit.
Quit altogether.
Huh? Yeah. Well, you got a cow, you've got to if you want to go somewhere, you gotta get somebody to milk her and use. I had that for 16, 18 years milking until I decided I quit. I just quit.
It's just not worth it, is it?
No, you get tied down.
Yeah, just for the milk you get.
That's right.
You all still grow your own garden. You did 30 years ago. You still grow it now. Your own food. Your cash crop is cattle and tobacco.
That's right. Right.
Those are your big cash crops.
That's the big cash crops.
You don't sell any vegetables or anything?
No, occasionally she still sells this little, nothing to speak of, just very little.
Of course, you have your own poultry, I noticed, too.
Yeah, we have them, and sometimes she buys chickens, something like that. But other than that, that's about all we buy, red meat.
Well, did you live better, or did it seem to be easier 20 years ago than it is today?
So much younger. The work didn't bother you as bad, and you always look want something to do, you know, all the time. Of course, we have all we can do now, but 20 years ago, you had to be all for saving with every penny you made. You had to be really careful with it.
Have you always worked on farm? You never worked outside?
No, I've done other work, but just part-time. I've done some carpenter work, and I used to do a little electrical work, house wiring and things like that, but I've dropped all that now.
But you were farming all the time also?
Farming all the time, that's just on the side.
Has your wife worked out, or is she?
Yeah, she worked at the hospital for 2 or 3 years, and then she worked at Grotter Hill Dock for about 13 years.
Oh. So she worked out and took care of the garden, too?
Yeah, that's right.
So to speak. Well, that was a help, wasn't it?
Oh, sure was.
Outside income coming in. If you hadn't had that, would it have been a lot harder?
Oh, yeah. Hard to make ends meet without a little income.
What about now, if young people starting out buying a farm, say me, I'm not young, but could I go out and buy 300 acres, buy the machinery and the cattle, could I do it?
I don't see how you could. I just don't see how you could.
Could I even pay the interest on it?
I don't believe you could. Because the farmer is going to have good years and bad years. You're going to have a bad year some years. And that's when really I just don't believe the farmer can ever get started unless he inherits quite a bit of it.
Well, how many children do you have?
Just the one.
And what does he do?
He's a teacher at Wayne County High School and coaching too.
Will he ever come back and run the farm?
Well, I hope that he'll come back. I don't know whether he'll run the farm or not. This farm has been in the Ryan family for 150 years.
Oh.
And I hope it stays that way.
I'd say so.
Yeah.
150 years.
150 years. My grandfather, I think, took it up, maybe a part of it. And 150 years ago, my dad's been dead a number of years. He was born in 1864, so he died at 60, so he's been dead a long time.
Mm-hmm. And his father owned this farm then?
He owned it before.
But did he have slaves here, or do you know?
Not that I know of. But my grandmother had a brother that was in the Civil War. And I think he fought with the Union Army.
With the Union.
Uh-huh.
Well, Kentucky was kind of split.
Yeah, it was.
Half and half on there.
That's right.
Well, some people in Clinton County had slaves, I know. A few, very few.
I guess so. I really didn't know.
I thought maybe with this farm being here that long and that size, maybe they had some.
My grandfather farmed different. Now, he had a big orchard here. The whole farm nearly was an orchard, and he made apple brandy. That's how he made his living.
Sold apple brandy.
And the old furnace, you can still see the old furnace down here in the Hollow Blue Spring where he had his still.
Run the brandy off.
Yeah.
Huh. Did he ever make vinegar, I wonder?
I guess he did.
And sold vinegar.
He had an awful good orchard, one of the best, they said, in this section of the state.
None of that left here?
No, I don't think there's a tree left. There's one pear tree down there now.
Huh.
I cut an old pear tree over here a few years ago. It's over 100 years old. It wasn't any good.
Hmm.
I kind of got the year of growth on it. It's over 100 years old.
Oh, my goodness. And that was one of his?
Yeah, that was one of his.
Branch off from one of his.
Sugar pear.
Well, people know we have orchards like that.
No.
They don't farm anymore, even.
No, they don't. Well, I'll tell you, there's more diseases now, and more insects and things. You have to do a lot of spraying in order to raise
fruit. Your own fruit.
That's right. We have a few trees and have had some awful good crops, but really not much for a few years. We have trees that died out and got old.
Not anything that you could make a living on.
No, I don't think like you could. If you used to go into it big, well, you might, but it'd be, I know they do in places over in Russell County, you know, they've got a lot of orchards over in there.
And that's their main business.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm not sure that land could be farmed anyway.
No, it's too hillside.
Really and everything. What about the politicians in the county, Mr. Ryan? Have the elected officials done anything to help small farmers?
Well, not that I really know of. I don't think they have any connections much. They have a few times helped farmers on roads and stuff maybe they need, but outside of that, I don't think they...
That's about all the local can do,
isn't it? That's about all they can do, yeah.
What about the state politicians? Have there been any? Has there been anything done to help the farmers in the last, say, 10, 15 years?
Not that I can recall. Now, of course, we had we got a lot of roads built under two governors, and outside of that, we'd been on gravel roads, dirt roads for yet, I guess.
Who were those governors?
Well, Governor Happy Chandler helped this part of the state considerably. He backed up a lot of roads, and then this 5th district in here, you know, always goes Republican, has ever since the Civil War. All except Wayne County goes Democratic for the last year or two. But anyway, Louis Nunn was governor. He blacktopped all these little roads up here. That really helped.
Helped us.
He didn't do that all over the state, I understand, but this 5th district, you know, it's what elected him.
It's kind of partial to them then.
That's right.
What about national? Have there been any decisions made nationally that has helped the farmers?
Oh, yes, years ago. Whenever Roosevelt was elected first time, I remember that. He really helped the farmers out.
What did he do with
it? Well, you couldn't sell your corn. It wasn't worth anything, and your hogs were so cheap. And he paid you not to grow any corn. He paid you not to raise any hogs, and paid for what hogs you had raised. And the price just jumped up. Helped the farmer out a lot. And how he'd made it with that.
Kept them from sinking, really.
That's right.
Well, do you grow hogs now?
No, I quit a few years ago. It's a great big job. Now, hogs has so many diseases, they're really hard to raise.
Is there good money in them now?
It has been up till now. Of course, all I raised was feeder pigs. But right now, these feeder pigs don't look too good. A lot of them say they're going out.
Well, what about the soil bank?
There's a lot of them signed up on it, signed their corn base up, and not putting out any corn. I don't know what effect it's going to have. I'm thinking it's going to be a whole lot of effect this year because a lot of these corn counties down in western Kentucky hasn't got no corn out because of so much rain, and a lot of them soil banks and putting out half their crop. I think it'll put corn up, and if it does, it's going to hurt the people that's raising hogs because hogs are just not that high.
Mm-hmm. It's going to jump sky high.
That's right. They'll finally get scarce.
Would it help you any?
No, not necessarily, because I just about feed all my corn out.
So it's just the people that raise that big corn crop.
That's right.
To sell.
Grain farming.
Well, the primary source of your income, is that tobacco or cattle? Which one?
Cattle. Yeah, three times as much as tobacco does.
And how often do you sell those feeder calves?
Well, I can even sell. They say I sell some in the fall, September, and then really the best time I've ever sold any was in February. And then I've been feeding some people some beeves. I have some regular customers that we sell some along in November, December, 1st of December.
And you sell those privately?
Sell them privately. I feed them out for them, and they take them then. And I sell, as a feeder calf sale in April, I sold some in April this year. Some in February, too.
Well, how much profit do you make on, say, an average of one calf?
That's hard to say. That's just actually hard to say. I'd say I make $300 or $400 on a calf. Clear.
Okay.
$300, I'd say. Of course, if I keep them up to 600 pounds, well, they'll bring me four something.
So that's good money.
That, to me, it is.
Uh-huh. Well, what's going to happen to all these little farms?
Well, I don't know. That's hard to say. There's all these little farmers are not trying, not taking care of their land. They could make a lot more on they would. A lot of people I know, some farms are that they've never expected anything out of it but tobacco. And they're just letting the rest of their farm go and grow up where they could have had some cattle in there and raise their tobacco too. But they just let them go and just spend on that tobacco. It's helped farmers and it's hurt some of them too.
Okay. Let me turn this over. So growing, raising cattle serves a twofold purpose, doesn't it, for small farmers if they raise
keeps your farm cleaned up. And income, too.
Well, if you didn't have yours, it'd take a lot of time to keep it as clean as it is now.
Oh, yeah, you can't.
It'd just constant.
Constant mowing all the time.
Constant mowing. Well, when you were young, living on a farm, what did you do for recreation when you were, say, 16, 17?
Well, we was all the time going somewhere, walking, riding horseback. Go for miles, big place was going to church somewhere, that's all we got and it was, and you know. We lived so far from town, we never went to town very often. We lived about 15 miles from town, we'd go churches, revivals, we just someplace to go.
What about the schools? Did they have
Yeah, we enjoyed going to school. I enjoyed going to school.
Where would you go to school?
I went to West Fork of Indian Creek.
One room school,
yeah.
Well, were there a lot of social type functions at the school back then?
No, not very much.
And have box suppers?
Oh, we'd have box suppers. That was a big day. Make up a little money and buy a volleyball or something like that, you know. But it didn't make up much. You'd make up $6 or $8. Well, that was a lot. Girls would fix the boxes and take them. They'd bring 15, 20 cents.
And all that money went back into the school?
All went back into the school to buy playground equipment.
Well, for recreation now, is it still the churches?
No. No, I'm ashamed to say it's not churches. You can't get people to go to church anymore. It's fishing or hunting right around here and different fairs and stuff like that. They don't go to church. People went to church then because they wanted somewhere to go where they're together. But now they go do the other
so
things.
So it didn't have that much to do with religion.
No, it wasn't religion. They didn't go on religion. They didn't go on the religion part of it. They just went somewhere to go.
For social.
That's right.
Well, now, this going, the fishing, hunting, this type of thing, is this the younger generation or is this your generation too?
It's mixed. There's not too many my age fishes, but the more younger ones does. Fewer ones go fishing.
Young people here, do young people have a tendency to stay here?
Or do they no, stay no, I don't. We at one time had, I guess, 20 young people in Sunday school, in the one Sunday school class, and they're all gone now.
Why is that?
They make more money somewhere else.
So they don't want to settle down and farm?
They don't want to settle down and farm. They're not going to do it. There's not enough in it for them.
Well, when you retire, what will happen to your farm?
I don't know.
Like every small farmer?
Yeah, every small farmer. I'll just rent out, I guess. I have to.
But no young person can buy one.
I don't see how they can. As high as this land is. And then that's just half the expense. Then get the equipment. Then you got to have livestock on them. You got all that stuff to buy. Unless he's worked somewhere and made a lot of money and can go back into and buy it and be out of debt when he buys it. I don't see how it happens. how he can do it.
But how much did this farm bring an acre, about?
Well, it ought to bring $400 an acre, I'd say. Count the woodland and all.
So that's a big mortgage for someone.
Yeah.
Big mortgage. They closed the county schools.
Closed the little schools.
Yeah.
But you said there wasn't that much there too.
I may be wrong. I am a lot of things. But I believe that's one of the mistakes that the state did.
Why?
They tell me they have so much troubles in the grade schools where they all get together. There's too many things. People, the good ones learn too many things from the bad ones.
And you didn't have that in the little schools?
No, we didn't have that in little schools. Maybe there'd be one rotten egg in the bunch, but he didn't get too much trouble, he or she.
Teacher was able to handle that.
Able to handle that.
The role of the parents has changed too, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. They don't want their children corrected now. And back then, if you got a whip in the school, you got another when you come home.
That was you. And yeah. Your son, too.
Yeah, that's right.
But that doesn't happen anymore.
They wouldn't tell it if you got one at school, but we're afraid to tell it because we're afraid we'd get one when we got home, too. But now, if a teacher touches a child now, why, I would get sued.
You don't think they learn as much then?
Yeah.
Don't learn as much as they did then?
I don't know. Of course, we only went to school. We started in school at 1 to 6, 7 months. We go 6 months 1 year, and the next year 7 months. We start in July a lot of times and be out Christmas.
Time to have stripped tobacco.
Yeah.
A lot of times
have stripped tobacco and get the wood in. Things for the winter. And a lot of them have to be pulled out to help with the fall work days when you should have been going to school. And the teachers just taught. They taught the 8 hours. They didn't take no time off, and like school was ending, they wouldn't have school a half a day or everything. Even the last day was probably on until 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was the last day of school.
If you got a Friday afternoon off for a ball game, you really felt good.
Oh, yeah. We had big excitement then.
And you said your son's a teacher.
Yeah.
And a coach. Is he in high school? Or?
Yeah, he teaches in high school. He's a biology teacher and coaches girls basketball and boys baseball team.
How large was the school you attended here? Do you remember?
About 30 enrollments.
In all grades?
Yeah, all grades.
And the consolidated school here has how many?
No, I couldn't tell you.
Hundreds?
Yeah.
Bad situation all around. And now you said this is about 261 acres
is what it says. I don't know whether there's that much of it now, but that's what it says.
That's a big farm for someone to come in and take over and run.
Yeah. Well, of course, you just forget about the woodland because you don't do anything to it. But the other, it keeps you pretty busy.
And the cattle.
Yeah, the cattle too.
Well, I can't think of anything else. I think I've touched on everything, unless there's something you'd like to add, Mr. Ryan.
I can't think of anything more that's of any interest.
Well, it sure has been interesting, and I certainly appreciate it. It's been
glad to do it.
It's been a big help for me.